This is Moolah La, Money Made Simple, brought to you in part by EQ Bank, banking simplified. Visit our site for a link, podcasts.moolala.ca. You can plan all you want for retirement, but sometimes things don't work out as planned. Sometimes you have to spend $100,000 you didn't budget for to fix your boat as you attempt to complete America's Great Loop. Leslie Poole is the president of Next Chapter, a firm that offers both financial planning and transition coaching services to help clients navigate some of the most difficult changes in life. She is here to share her personal retirement story and perhaps a cautionary tale on RRSPs. Hello, Leslie.
Hey, Bruce, how are you?
I sent out a tweet saying something like RRSPs should be the first option people consider, you know, for retirement savings. And you responded to say that you would be happy to share your story about your first 2 years in retirement and why you'd wished you'd had more non-registered retirement savings. Well, here we are having that conversation in front of all our listeners. In the shortest version possible, what happened that has you say that?
Okay, well, I certainly drank the RSP Kool-Aid. So I had been working in the financial services business for 40 years. I'm a certified financial planner for much of that. And I saved and I saved and I saved almost all in RSPs. So I had a whole bunch of money saved up, and we got to the point where we felt we could retire and take our bucket list trip, which is a boat trip in our own 45-foot cruiser, called America's Great Loop around the eastern part of the United States, including a side trip to the Bahamas. And that trip took us about 14 months, starting in July of 2017.
And this was where the engine failures cost you a holy heck of a lot of money.
So we were partway through the trip, and we had a catastrophic engine failure, and that took us about 5 weeks to fix and about $40,000 U.S.
Jeez.
And so we sat and got that done, because what choice do you really have when you're down in Mississippi?
Yeah.
You kind of have to get it fixed. So we continued on our way, and then we had a failure of the second engine when we were near Charleston, South Carolina. So another 6, 7, 8 weeks this time, and another about $35,000, $40,000 U.S. again. So that's, again, we had, didn't feel we had very much choice, but to pay up.
You said you drank the RRSP Kool-Aid. If you had a do-over, what would you do differently?
Well, I'd still obviously save for retirement. That is very important, but I would probably have saved more in my TFSA and non-registered account. Now, TFSA, there's only so much you can save, but I could have done a lot more in other investments that were not tax advantaged. The reason is that we had to draw down that money and then start taking money out of our RSPs in huge amounts to pay for all these expenses. I also ended up in a situation where we had put an offer on a house on a condominium that closed after we got back. And I had made the offer unconditional. So we weren't able to sell my house in Toronto before we had to close on this place. So I had to take like another $100,000 out of my RSP. So my taxable income, mostly from RSP withdrawals, in 2018 was over $400,000. And at that point, you're being taxed at the super highest tax rate, which applies to people with over $200,000 of income, which I had never had in my whole working career.
Right. And you had it not only at the time you didn't want it, but you had it for a reason that wasn't because you got this amazing bonus. It was because you had to take out a chunk of money.
Well, basically, two unexpected things happened to us. One was these engine repairs that had to be done. And the second was, at that point, the RSP was my only source of funds to purchase this home. So, two things happening in short order, and those things are what they are. But if I had had more non-registered funds or non-taxable funds to draw on, I would have been a lot happier paying my
yeah.
2018.
How do you think that through for a client that is in similar circumstances, as in similar phase of life as you? Because the TFSA isn't a whole lot of it's not a whole lot of room, and some people would have already maxed that out. So would you encourage them to under contribute to an RRSP just so that they could contribute to a non-registered? Because there's real tax implications there.
I actually did start doing that in the last couple of years before I retired. I could sort of see that this RSP was going to be potentially a problem from a tax point of view. And so I did start saving a little bit in non-registered, and I'm glad I did that. But I think everybody should have the ability to make choices in retirement as to whether to take taxable income or non-taxable income. And that also relates to other things like your OAS clawback. And there's various reasons why you might want to adjust your mix of taxable and non-taxable income. So if you have everything in RSPs, you don't have that choice. You're really stuck.
I guess it's a trade-off too, because if you're going to take – you are disadvantaged tax-wise – to not fully contribute. This is in a world in which people have enough money to max these things out, which is rare. But if you do have the ability to max them out, you're going to be paying more tax in your working years because you didn't have the RRSP deferral.
Potentially, that's true. And for most people, I know there were certainly times in my in my years when I was raising a family and stuff and paying a mortgage and daycare and all that, when I needed every dime, and I certainly paid, wanted to get the maximum tax benefit. So I put money into RSPs. But as I got into my 50s, that probably wasn't as critical. The cash flow issues were not as severe. So getting that tax deduction was not as important for me in those years. I mean, the best case scenario is to max your RSP, your TFSA, and then save something in non-registered.
Right, right. You've spent your whole career in financial services, and
40 plus
years. It's a long time. And you've probably worked with clients who have had things go wrong. What advice did you give yourself over the last couple of years as all these things were happening? What advice did you give yourself that you took, and what advice did you give yourself that you did not take?
I did sort of start to see this coming in the last 3 or 4 years of my working career, and I did start putting some money into non-registered, and that helped a lot, that we were able to rely on that for the first part of the trip anyway. So that's advice I guess I would have taken. But the other part of it is don't deny yourself your dream just because of monetary things.
Mm.
Tax shouldn't be running your life. And although, this didn't go ideally for us from a financial point of view, I wouldn't have missed this experience for the world. Mm. It was life-changing to do this 14-month incredible trip and meet incredible people. And it was wonderful. So, to sit at home and worry about things that might go wrong, that that you might end up paying more tax, it doesn't make sense to do that. You've got to enjoy your retirement and live the life you want to live.
What is the one thing that you would say you learned about resilience from this experience?
Oh, it was a whole exercise in resilience. not just these problems, but there were all kinds of things on this trip that we were having to deal with unexpectedly, like just even things like weather delays. Resilience became our middle name, and it was a really interesting exercise too in relationships too, is to two people stuck on a very small boat for 14 months, and whether you can kind of survive that close quarters. So the need to plan and replan and kind of bounce back from all different kinds of adverse situations.
Wow.
And still enjoy each other and what you're doing.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it was something I highly recommend doing this trip. It was amazing, and most people don't have two engine failures when they're doing it.
I guess. America's Great Loop. Leslie, thank you so much for joining us.
You're most welcome. It was great to talk to you.
Leslie Poole is the president of Next Chapter. She joined us to talk about her experience riding some choppy water, not only on America's Great Loop, but some of the financial consequences of how life unfolded over that period of time.